Amen. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to come today. I'm grateful to my pastors and the pastoral staff for this privilege that I have this morning to bring the Word of God this morning. Of course, I was a little bit nervous earlier. My first baby dedication. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Which I see my pastor do it all the time, but still yet it's, you know, it's an experience. Amen. But praise God that God is raising up parents who are dedicated to God and, you know, so desire for their children to come up in the things of the Lord. Amen. So such a blessing it is. Amen. And bless you all. This morning, as I get started here, I want you all to get your Bibles. I also want to give a special thanks, shout out to my wife, my back-to-back partner. Amen. I love you, baby. Without you, I don't know what I'd be doing. Of course, it was a challenge, like all challenges that we're called to. I had to wait on her 7 years, guys. 7 years. Where's your heart at? And amen, been blessed ever since. And our daughter's here, and she's a blessing, and it's just so much a blessing to have family that support what you do and what God's called you to, and we support one another and love one another. Amen. This morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to Mark 10. Gospel of Mark. When you have it, say amen. If you're still looking for it, tell me to wait a minute. Oh, come on now. Oh, y'all got it? Okay, all right. Don't be embarrassed. Wait a minute. I wouldn't want you to supposed to be going to Mark and turn to Malachi. Amen, which I've done before. Mark 10, verse 46. Going to begin to read the word of God. Hallelujah. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Well, he went out with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him. You know, you got your haters. Many warned him to be quiet, but I love this. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Let me say that again. Jesus stood still. If you didn't hear me back there, Jesus stood still. Heavenly Father God, I come before you this morning, dear Lord God, privilege and a blessing, dear Lord God, to come now, Lord, humbled before you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I am your vessel this morning that you will speak through, my God, and it is a privilege. I thank you, God. I decrease, dear Lord God, as you would increase, dear Lord God, your presence in this place today. Lord, we are here with open hearts and minds, asking you, oh God, speak to us this morning. Dear Lord God, revolutionize us this morning. Heal us with your word, by your word, dear Lord God. Bring us comfort and peace in the name of Jesus and elevate us to the next level that you have called us to. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, have your good and perfect way, I pray this morning in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. I've entitled this message this morning, Elevate Your Cry. Now, there's a whole bunch of cries. We're going to be talking about a particular cry this morning. Not a whining, weeping, calling, ambulance cry, which that's okay to cry. Okay, don't get me wrong. I cry that cry sometimes. Then there's a murmuring and complaining cry. But
Ain't nothing ever goes right with you. You're always in a bad mood, you know, and your jaw is hanging down, you know, like a vacuum cleaner, you know, sucking up dust off the floor. You know, there's that kind of cry, murmuring, complaining cry. Then there's a cry, and my subject this morning is that there is a desperate cry of faith. We're going to see this morning that there is a desperate cry of faith, or a desperate faith cry, if you will. Here we see blind Bartimaeus, who they took out every day on that long, winding Jericho road that went up the hill to Jerusalem. Blind Bartimaeus, they took out, and he was dressed as some beggar's dress, with his coat on, we'll read, and he had his cup in his hand. We see that Bartimaeus, as he heard that multitude, he heard this commotion. There was a disruption there. Disrupted his norm. Hello, somebody. You know, we get caught in patterns and systems. He had been caught up for years in a pattern, in a system. And all of a sudden, something disrupted his pattern and his system, and it woke up something in blind Bartimaeus. You see, I don't know about you, but I don't believe it's a comfortable thing being blind while everybody else that's passing by, they can see. You've got to wonder, what is that seeing thing all about? And I'm sure for years and years that blind Bartimaeus, he wondered, what is that seeing thing all about? He couldn't see the multitude. He could not see Jesus coming with a multitude following Jesus. But he heard the commotion. Somebody said here last week from this same podium that, and I believe it might have been Pastor Pat here, that when you're blind or when you lack one of your senses, what it does is elevate your other senses. So this commotion or this disruption, you understand, was extra loud to him. But his cry was backed by something else, in such a way that it caught Jesus' attention. Now, I want you to keep in mind that Jesus, this is right before Jesus goes to be persecuted. He's on the road to Jerusalem. It's been a tough week for Jesus. Hello, somebody. Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. It had been tough week for the man side of Jesus. He was challenged, you understand. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he went to pray and he told his disciples, you understand, three times to pray. And each time he came back, they were asleep. But he went to pray, he went to cry out to the Father in heaven. Because, see, Jesus was being challenged. He was being challenged, and he had asked the Father, please take this cup, or will you take this cup from me? But ultimately he said, not my will be done, but your will be done. But he's on his way to Jerusalem on the highway of Jericho. You know, time can be a factor. You have the Son of God on his way to die for you and I. It wouldn't seem like he would have time to stop and do any more healings. But Bartimaeus cried out such a cry, a desperate cry for mercy. I'm going to tell you this morning that mercy, that cry for mercy was pushed by Bartimaeus' faith. Hello, somebody. It's a whole nother, you understand, when you're crying out and that cry is being pushed by your hope and what you're hoping for. A desperate cry. Like I said earlier, we're going to call it a desperate faith. I assume that Bartimaeus was brought daily, as I said, to the same spot, covered himself with the same coat, and he shook the same cup every day. He had his spot on the old winding road to Jerusalem, the old Jericho road, where people trekked back and forth all day, every day, on their way to Jerusalem. It was the road where commerce and business was done, where blind Bartimaeus had the opportunity to beg and make a panhandler's living. You ever notice that panhandlers, they hang out in front of stores. They hang out in front of restaurants. They hang out on the divider at the red light. They have learned that accessibility, you understand, gives way to opportunity. If there's no accessibility, then there's no opportunity. So when you stop at that red light, hello somebody, in your nice shiny car, all right, the hope is, you understand, that there be some mercy in your heart, that there be some compassion to where you reach in your pocketbook and pull out some dinero. Hello somebody, did I say that right? Some coins, some cheddar, some cheese, some greens, some money. But that's a stoplight. And a lot of times, you understand, there are many people that when they stop, they go, oh, goodness gracious, man, shoot, I don't. Some don't want to give and some don't have it to give. As Christians, you know, we reach into our pocket or we reach into our heart. You understand? And we tell them about Jesus Christ. But they hang out and they make themselves accessible so that they have the opportunity, you understand, to make a panhandler's living. Blind Bartimaeus had got used to coming to this spot. He had claimed his stake on this spot. Just like the lame man that they laid daily in front of the temple, the gate, called Beautiful. His livelihood depended on a routine or a system he had become accustomed to. I become accustomed to a system, a routine. When I was out there, you understand, running around high on narcotics, I did a lot of panhandling myself. I probably did more robberies than anything else. I would have done better as a panhandler because panhandling don't send you to the penitentiary. But I got used to that. I got stuck, caught in the routine. I believe that there was something in all these years that in Bartimaeus, you understand, he had longed to have sight, and there was a cry before the cry. Just like in me as a drug addict, there was a cry before the cry. On the day that they came to pick me up and take me to the men's home, I cried aloud on the phone, brother, brother, don't hang up. There's any way that you can come get me. I'm ready. And they showed up in an old truck. It didn't matter to me. You could have showed up on a tricycle. And if it would ride us, then I was going to jump on and we was going to ride because I had to get out of that condition. Hello, somebody. Bartimaeus, you understand, he had heard what Jesus had been doing throughout the land. But many in the culture had heard the scriptures. And I believe you understand that he had heard the many scriptures about the coming of the Messiah. As he was sitting there in his in the survival spot mode, you understand, trying to deal with the things inside when he heard the commotion. It's a trip. You can get into a system of survival and being doing something every day, something that you hate. I'm sure he didn't take pride in begging. Shame on you if you took pride in being a junkie, a dope fiend, a prostitute, a gangbanger. There were days, but shame on us. Amen. But praise the Lord for his mercy. praise the Lord, I said, for his mercy. Jesus stood still when he heard the cry of blind Bartimaeus. He stood still. God has given us in this congregation, he has given us a mandate. And on this day and every day in this year, we're declaring that this is the year for us to elevate. To elevate in every area that God has given us a call to. But usually God has to shake us up. I believe that this morning, you are here this morning, I believe, to be shaken up. I believe that as we declare this our year to elevate, I believe that there's going to be a disruption. Oh, come on now. Do you hear me? There's going to be a disruption. If you don't hear me on that side, maybe you're on the side. There's going to be a disruption in your life. You may not want a disruption, but if you're declaring getting to the next level, you're going to have to be disrupted. You see, because many a times, you understand, we talk a good talk. Oh, I'm going to elevate this. I'm going to, just like we at the beginning of the year. Oh, I'm going to go on a diet this year. We can talk a good talk. God's heard us talk the talk before. But son, in order to get you to that place that you're declaring, I'm going to have to disrupt you. I'm going to have to bring about something to shake you up. Because you have gotten into a comfort zone. Or you have become self-sufficient. I don't want you to rely on you no more. I don't want you to rely on your wife, your mama, your daddy. I want you to first and foremost rely upon me. There's a whole bunch of things, you understand, that they sell on the market that's supposed to make us cute. I don't care what kind of suit you'd have put me in. It could have been a $5,000 suit, you understand, when I was out there in the world. I was still messed up. Still messed up. God's not trying to change the outside before he changed the inside. God does an inside out work. I truly believe that God was already working on blind Bartimaeus. And at the moment, you understand that he realized in the midst of this disruption that it was Jesus. Now notice here in a minute what I'm going to read. It was Jesus, and the Bible says he was passing by. Oh, listen here. Accessibility, the way to opportunity. Blind Bartimaeus had to make himself accessible. But he couldn't see and he couldn't take off running, you understand, and trying to get through the crowd. He couldn't do that. So he had to use what God gave him to use. Hello, somebody. God, you understand, he didn't have his eyesight. But oh, I believe Bartimaeus could, I believe he could shout. And on this particular day, here's this mild and meek blind beggar who's there with his cup and his coat and he's shaking his cup. Mild-mannered Bartimaeus. Clark Kent Bartimaeus. But then when he heard the disruption, hello somebody, he broke out. He broke out. I said he broke out of that mild-mannered situation that he was caught up in. And he became super, my brother, and, shouting Bartimaeus. Hello somebody. And my brother had a super shout, I believe. There's no doubt in my mind that when he heard Jesus, it was Jesus, you understand. He probably thought about the scriptures that said the Messiah would come and serve or save us. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. So this quiet-mannered, meek man, you understand, he began to shout. Let's continue to read. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man. Wait a minute. Hold him up. Hold him up. Hold him up. Let me go back. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Well, who's going to call him? Oh, the same ones that were just hating on him? Ain't it somehow haters, you understand, when you getting ready to get blessed? Hello, somebody. Hey, dog. Hey, what's happening, Holmes? Yeah, we cool? We cool? No, we wasn't cool a while ago. Hello, somebody. We wasn't cool then. But it's something, yeah, they was telling him to shut up. As a matter of fact, what my Bible says in the New King James, that many warned him to be quiet. Many warned him to shut up. Wait a minute, warned? Like, brother, you don't shut up, we're going to jump on you, Holmes, blind or not. That's how I take it. That's just how I take it, okay? That's my story. That's how I can, you know, that's how I interpret that. They warned him. Otherwise, hey, it's a warning, brother. You keep that up and something's going to happen to you. Hello, somebody, that's how I take that. That's how I take that. Amen. So then what they did is forced him into another cry. It's called a, that'll cry. Somebody. The devil comes and tell you, you understand that when the doctor gives you and hands you that report, that bad report, there is a battle cry. There is a war cry. Devil, you a liar. I'm going to hit my knees right now. You understand? And we're getting ready to shake up all of that jive that you're talking. Because my God is a healing God. My God is a saving God. My God is a delivering God. And I ain't trying to hear that. Bartimaeus was not trying to hear that. The Bible says he shouted the more. David's so-called wife, you understand, which the Bible calls her King Saul's daughter. Never. Didn't call her his wife. David was a king and he was dancing around in a circle. The Bible pretty much states that David danced up out of his clothes. Hello? Because he was so blessed that the Ark of the Covenant had to return to Israel. The promise of God has returned. And it didn't matter. Mary broke her alabaster jar. With a whole bunch of people looking like, man, that's some expensive stuff. Girl, why you do that? You shouldn't have broke it. How come you didn't give it to me? I could have cashed it in somewhere. You don't know what Jesus means to me. I'd break 5 and 6 to 10 more of these jars if I had them, because that's how much Jesus means to me. Bartimaeus didn't care. So Jesus commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. Ain't that something? Jesus changed the whole thing around. He flipped the script. Verse 50 says, in throwing aside his garment, he rose and then came to Jesus. Let me tell you something right now, church, this morning. When Jesus called you, you got to throw away a whole bunch of stuff. Hello, somebody. All the stuff, the weighted stuff that's holding you down, you got to throw away that stuff. You understand? That might be that so-called boyfriend. It might be the so-called girlfriend or somebody that's making all kind of blind promises to you. You got to throw that down. In that job that you so-called have, you might have to throw that down. I know people work jobs and they weekend warriors. They smoke crack all weekend long and then they go to work on Monday. Brother, forget that job. You need to go to the men's home. Sister, forget that job. You need to go to the women's home. Hello, somebody. When Jesus called, you got to throw some stuff away. You got to get rid of some old baggage. You got to get rid of some trash. Hello, somebody. You got to get rid of all that so-called dead weight. Get an amen this morning. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, this is a checking of your faith. I told God in the men's home, God, I'm hearing a whole bunch of testimonies. Okay, if you can do for me what you've done for all of them that I hear testimonies from, God, here I am. Okay, I done threw everything down. There's nothing else I want, you understand, but to be delivered. Oh, my goodness. Want to be delivered. All the stuff that I thought was important, it wasn't important. No, no. Okay? Salvation, you understand, it's got one price on it. That's the price that Jesus paid. All right? Threw all of that away. So Jesus asked him, what do you want from me? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means great one, that I may receive my sight. I may receive my sight. He goes on to say in verse 52, if I can get the keyboardist, come to the keyboards. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, and I love this. Oh, please catch this. You don't catch nothing else, catch this. Okay, because many of us have been healed, but we're not doing this. Oh, shoot. Hello, somebody. And immediately, somebody say immediately. That means like right now. That don't mean next week. That don't mean tomorrow. That means like immediately. That's right now. Pay off. That's it. Okay. Blink of an eye. Snap of a finger. Right now. Immediately, he received his sight and what? He followed Jesus on the road. See, Jesus did a double favor here. Because see, nobody deserves the honor and the glory and the praise like Jesus, like God Almighty. He did a double favor here. He put the honor, and I love this, he put the honor on blind Bartimaeus on his healing. He put it on Bartimaeus' faith. Brother, your faith, the faith that I've given you, you call it your faith. He didn't forget who gave it to him, but Jesus had accounted it to him as his faith. We see that all through the Bible, just like with Abraham. Your faith has delivered you. Otherwise, you rose up with the thing that I gave you. And you were feeding that thing for years and years and years. And when you heard my call, you understand, you rose up in spite of all the haters. You rose up in spite of all the demons. You rose up, you understand, when all hell was coming against you. You rose up, blind and all, and you came. The second favor Jesus did was unto himself. You see, we don't bring God glory. We don't walk in righteousness apart from the righteous one. Apart from the one and only one who deserves the glory, who deserves the honor. You see, apart from him, we can do nothing, the Bible says, John 15. We can do nothing. God will bring glory to himself and what we do because he's given us the ability to do it. Faith is a gift from God, lest anyone should boast, it says in Ephesians. It is a gift of God. It is our business and our responsibility that God has given us, you understand, to elevate that faith. As we elevate that faith, we elevate our cry, we elevate all the things that God has called us to. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So Jesus, you understand, the Bible even says that God, looking around, finding no one else that he could swear by, he swore to himself. He swore by himself. You know how we used to do it? I swear to God. But there was no one God could swear to but himself. Hello, somebody. See, when Bartimaeus received his sight, here's the other thing. What did he do, church? He did what? Come on, say it, say it, say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. He did what? He followed Jesus. You think you made it here this morning by your own accord? Do you? I know I didn't. If I'd have been a millionaire, me and my wife have trillions of dollars. Okay? In a limousine, Rolls Royce limousine or something. We still couldn't have made it here this morning in our own accord. I couldn't have got out of bed this morning if God hadn't commanded the sinews and the muscles and the joints and all the tendons and stuff to move in my body, my old body, you understand, and get up and take the steps to get to the shower, you understand, to iron some clothes and to come to church. And guess what? Feel good about it. Wasn't a burden for me to come this morning. Although every time, you understand, they call me to preach, I'm nervous about preaching. I'm not nervous about music, though. We got some awesome preachers in our church. Okay? But it was because of God. And it's because of God I can stand here and declare His goodness, His mercy, His grace. Name of Jesus. It's not enough to come to Christ for healing. But when we are healed, we must continue to follow Him to bring honor and glory to Him as His disciples and to be able to go to the next level. I don't know about you. Do you feel good about going to the next level? Oh, we're not to stick out of chicken. Oh, man. No, we feel good about it. Feelings is something that God gave us. It's a gift, okay, from God. It feels good. It feels good to glorify our Father in heaven. It's a good feeling, but we still have to honor Him by following Him in obedience. Amen? Those of us who have received spiritual sight, we have seen and we continue to see the beauty of God, the beauty of Christ. They say that those men like Billy Graham, even our own pastor, Sonny Organzoni, founder of our ministry. God, you understand, is not a respecter of men. See, the closer you get to God, y'all remember the black light? Any of y'all hear from the black light era? I'm in trouble. I'm here by myself. Black light. Okay? You get up under the black light and your clean clothes just got real dirty. Spots everywhere. I mean, I'm talking about lint, man. You can do the lint roller, man. You do the lint roller and still see all this linen stuff. Let me tell you something. The closer to get to God, He keeps us humble, because the closer you get to Him, the more dirt you see. So for those of you that are thinking that, hey, you know, the leaders, you understand, they don't have no sin. They don't have no struggles. They're clean, you understand, and I'll never be able to make it to that place where my leaders are. Well, then you're terribly wrong. You're terribly wrong. See, our righteousness, the Bible says, is only a filthy rags. Just like filthy rags. So no matter how sharp you think you are, how righteous you think you are, your righteousness is only like filthy rags. We always have to bring honor to God, you see, and be humble. This morning, why wait? I said this morning, why wait? Elevate your cry. Exercise your faith. That desperate faith. Is anybody desperate this morning? And that scares me. I see weeping. You know, we have altar calls here at Victory Outreach. I see weeping up here. I'd be scared to death walking to church. There ain't nobody crying. I'm serious about that one. Where there ain't no weeping. Where there's no confessions being made. There's no repentance. I'd be scared of that place. Because see, the Bible tells us there's not a righteous one amongst us. No, not one. That we all fall short of the glory of God. You see. So this morning, why wait? Time goes on and situations in the world, you understand that the Bible talks about, says that wickedness will abound in the world in the last days. But God's mercy, God's grace will abound much, much more. Much, much more. I believe that there's a revival coming, church. I believe that there's going to be, you understand, a dash to the local church. Sometimes we complain about our numbers. But get ready. You understand? God wants us to be able to facilitate all the souls that are going to come running. I'm going to tell you something here. Quite a few years ago, there was a major earthquake in San Francisco. And the churches filled up. People were delivered. People were saved. People were comforted. People found peace. But many of them took off again. You see, we need to follow Jesus. Because Jesus is trying to prepare us. Jesus is a lover of souls. Okay?
Barnabas was trying not to miss his opportunity. Every day that we have is an opportunity. You have to make yourself accessible.
Every day is an opportunity. So whether you're feeling desperate or not, you better get desperate. Because there's some times coming. Seek God while he still may be found. Hello, somebody. And be ready. Get ready. With every eye closed, every head bowed. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God, oh God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Many of us had a desperate cry, dear Lord, of faith. Lord, I personally have seen you stop and stand still for a wretched dope fiend 23 years ago like me. And there's some here, Lord, with a testimony that goes deeper than mine, Lord. And you stood still. You didn't have to, but you did. You stretched out your arms, dear Lord God, on the cross of Calvary, dear Lord God, and you gave up. You shed your blood. You gave up life so that we might die with you and die in you, dear Lord God, and be resurrected because you are God. Lord, we thank you for standing still. But Lord, I pray this morning that we don't believe in our hearts and know in a certain way, dear Lord God, that we have a lot of time. Time, Lord, you have not promised us one second. You know the time, Lord, that you will come to take us home, but we don't know. So, Lord, we want to act and we want to respond, dear Lord God, not just for our self's sake, Lord, but I pray that you would instill in our hearts that there's somebody else. There's another Charles in line, Lord. One that you're working on right now. Everybody here has another one of them, dear Lord God, that is waiting in the balance like blind Bartimaeus. Lord, you want to be able, Lord, to use us to disrupt, to shake up their situation. Maybe even with a kind word, some kind of kind word, Lord, we know can shake up somebody's miserable situation, since misery loves company. Lord, we pray this morning that as your word has gone forth, my God, that Father, that is being coveted right now, that has been taken, dear Lord God, that Lord, you write it upon the tablets of the hearts of the hearers this morning, dear Lord God, that we would move, dear Lord God. We would move this morning with a desperate faith, dear Lord God, to become those that you have called us to be, to elevate our cry, to elevate our faith, to elevate our study, to elevate our walk in you, Lord, to become manifested, to have you manifest in our life, that we look more and more like you every day, that we can appeal, that you can use us to appeal to a dying world. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for what you are doing here today. If there be anybody here today, no, Jesus came and he died for us. He shed his blood. He paid a price that we could not pay for our sins to be forgiven, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And he was raised on the third day, born of a virgin, lived amongst men, 100% man, 100% God, died, shed his blood for you and I, and was buried. But on the third day, by the power of God, Father, he was raised from the dead. He is now seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven, interceding for you and I. He cares about you. And today he has offered us the free gift of salvation. If there's anyone here that wants to receive that gift, who's ready to accept that free gift, raise your hand. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? The Bible says that today is the acceptable day of the Lord, of our salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. As they begin, and I'm not going to make this altar call, if we could all stand, I'm not going to make this altar call for everyone right now, just for those that raised your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Just come forward. Come forward. Let me pray for you and with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, stand, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which I want to pray for you anyway. Hallelujah.
Because of you, I carry joy.
These altars are open right here, right now. Come to God with a desperate cry. Come to God with a heart of thanksgiving and praise. Come to God this morning. Don't let God pass you by. Blind Bartimaeus, took advantage of the situation.
You are the reason for my happiness.
And the time is now, not tomorrow, not next week. The time is now. The time is right now.
To you.